This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, myself Sharad, Julian and Ibrahim Sani here with the top business stories of the day. Don't forget to catch the Breakfast Grill. That's at 8 a.m. When Julian, you're going to be speaking to Mark Canning. He's a former diplomat and also now a senior advisor with Bell Pottinger, kind of a public relations company. And you're going to be talking about the regional impact of the Brexit vote.
Yeah, I think he is a very suitable person to talk about this because he is not only a diplomat from the UK and he's got a very good view of what's happening in the UK, but he has for many decades spent his time in ASEAN, this part of the world as well, having been ambassador to Myanmar and East Timor, I believe.
Indonesia,
and also the Deputy High Commissioner for Malaysia as well. So he has got wide-ranging experience in ASEAN, and I'm just going to ask him the questions of how ASEAN investors and how ASEAN as a grouping would deal with the fallout that might arise from Brexit.
Okay, well, it's one of the top stories this morning, Singapore's launch of a mega port in Tuas. It may pave the way for faster expansion of local ports to achieve local lower costs. In response to Singapore's port consolidation, Malaysia government is calling for a national port study to be speeded up. Both countries have been rallying on traffic plying through, relying on traffic plying through the Straits of Malacca, which connects across the east to the far to the west.
Yeah, so I think that Singapore is unrelenting in its quest to become highly competitive in the port sector. I think a lot of people, floated this theory that Malaysia can be cheaper, so Malaysia can have a niche beside Singapore and make use of its low-cost status to complement what's going on in Singapore. But it looks like Singapore, you know, unrelenting. They have this Singapore's next-generation port called the NGP 2030 plan, where over the next 30 years, they would build this port to have a 65 million TEUs, a 20-foot equivalent units of capacity. Just as a perspective, right now, the Port of Singapore Authority has only half of that. So over the next 30 years, this new port would have double the very formidable volume of PSA right now, which is one of the biggest ports in the world.
So as you can see, there is a huge tussle for Southeast Asia port supremacy. This increase in capacity building from Singapore is trying to counter that statement that a lot of businesses make that Malaysia is the cheaper option, but not necessarily the most optimal option. In fact, from my conversation in my Breakfast Grill interview with Damco Asia, a logistics company, their regional CEO, Thomas Knudsen, did say that right now, Malaysia kind of has that slight advantage on cost management. But of course, sometimes when you do business, cost is not everything. Sometimes they want to see zero downtime.
Efficiency.
Yeah, efficiency and so on. And
which results in cost anyway.
Yeah, it's essentially back down to that. And he did say that with the increase in that grill, he did say that with the increased capacity that Singapore is trying to build, they might be able to steal that option from Malaysians, companies in Malaysia and enticing Malaysian ports from doing business.
Well, what about the kind of geographic synergies that might be that might exist between Singapore and the southern part of the peninsula? You know, the Pengerang ports and such. I mean, is there something there? Some complement that Malaysian ports can play to the Singaporean port?
I think a different war of sorts is building there down in the south, because the Straits of Malacca is, of course, one of the busiest sea lanes in the world. A lot of implications for security as well. I think the United States tried to come in and have some influence over there. But in terms of geographical location, if you look at the existing PSA location, is right in the south of Singapore Island. But Tuas, which is the new port, it's closer towards the west. So it's really putting it closer to Tanjung Pelapa, which is also on the west, in direct competition with PTP, whereas Pengerang, which is that mega project related to the oil and gas sector, that's a way to the eastern side of Singapore. So I guess, could you say that the western part of where all this is where all the action is? Just coming out of the Strait of Malacca is where your ports are.
So, you know, this is, of course, part of that port master plan that we just spoke of. This is a 30-year development plan. When completed, Tuas will be one of the more improved efficiency and cost management centre in one place. Everything will be centred there.
That's also the other niche argument where some consultants, according to this report from StarBiz, are saying that Malaysia could focus on hinterland traffic in a sense that you import and export and then distribute it to the land-based location, whereas Singapore is a focus for transshipment. They import something and immediately export it out to other countries around the region.
I mean, it's curious, right? The idea that these are two separate nations, they're going to be both developing policies around this, but in some sense, Malaysia's policy has to take into consideration Singapore's, you know, lead in this matter, and in some ways, shape our national policy around the existing parameters. You know, it's
definitely.
Like, I mean, there is perhaps some possibility of the two countries, you know, working together. But
We tried that before, right? In the 60s.
That's right. It was called Malaysia.
No, we're trying it. we're trying it in Iskandar as well. Singapore is
absolutely.
Is
so
a huge
Iskandar's an
contributor.
Yeah, that's right. Iskandar is an example of kind of complementary policy formulation in the IDA. Creating, you know, coordination rather than rivalry, which is what we see now. Moving on, Hong Leong Financial Group, Berhad, and its unit HLA Holdings has received Bank Negara's nod to begin negotiations to sell HLAH's equity interest in Hong Leong Assurance
yeah.
Berhad and Hong Leong MSIG Takaful Berhad. The approval was subject to negotiations being concluded within 6 months from June 23rd, 2016.
So this was big news last week, which we didn't have time to cover, but I think the people are still continuing to talk about it. HLA, how many of you have been approached by their agents? They're quite a big force out there. And that's why they are attractive when they want to sell, because they have a great portfolio of policyholders. And the question is, why is this happening, right? We saw last week also that CIMB sold off their Sompo insurance operations for about a billion bucks ringgit. And now HLA is following to do this as well.
I think this is also the hint where consolidation in the industry is happening quite rapidly. We keep on talking about the consolidation in the banking industry because that's more, I guess, bigger in terms of balance sheet.
But this is akin to a bank selling off an asset, right? Like CIMB selling off a bank would be huge news.
Yeah.
But Hong Leong Group is selling off one of the main assets, 10% to earnings. This is quite big as well. And I think the reason is bancassurance. The bancassurance being the concept that banks don't really need to own insurance operations, insurance shops. All they need to do is to bring that insurance distribution of any brand at all into their fold, just to benefit from non-interest income, fee income.
Yeah, and we saw this happening with CIMB when they brought in the principal financial group, PFG, where they can earn from that non-interest income and also non-operating interest income from their relationship from PFG without hitting on their capital management. So I guess there is a correlation on using a better brand out there and not hitting on their financial statement and financial capital management group.
And this will also allow Hong Leong to raise a lot of money. We're talking about price-to-book ratios, very attractive of about 3 times as established by past M&A stakes. So it will really put a lot more cash into the coffers of Hong Leong. And Kwek Ling Chan is, of course, a very savvy investor. He has a keen eye for what is valuable and what is not. And selling this would be something that is extremely tactical and strategic for him, especially at this time. He's putting some money into EcoWorld International,
yeah.
that IPO rumored, actually. This is not confirmed at this point in time. So it allows him to just regroup and see how he wants to spend his money.
At the end of the day, it's still a matter of regulatory approval, and I don't know whether Bank Negara is closing in on this deal, particularly when we know that Bank Negara is already closing in the way we sell insurance, and whether or not this method of selling insurance will impact the way bank insurance is being done in Malaysia.
See, this kind of thing Bank Negara is doing to really close in on insurance selling methods is very good for insurance companies to to sell off their actual insurance stakes. Because when the market is liberated, the distributors will be more powerful than actual owners of insurance products, especially if you're a small, inefficient insurance company. Then you would find yourself having to be in a position to compete with all the more
big boys,
savvy international operators who really don't have a very big agency. They just go with an online method of selling. This is where the distributor, like the likes of CIMB or let's say Hong Leong, as the case may be in future, would benefit from that kind of regulation.
So apart from, you know, sort of people in the banking industry, is this of any consequence to consumers?
Yeah, I think we should take note of this because when Bank Negara advocates that insurance products are sold online, for example, or advocates any other kind of more, more transparent way of selling insurance. There's a lot of mis-selling right at this point in time. It will benefit consumers because you get to buy your products for cheaper. But of course, it also raises the role of good distributors and good agents to advise you on the right kind of products to buy.
Okay, next story. National Bank of Abu Dhabi and the First Gulf Bank have approved plans to form a $175 billion bank.
This is going to be one of the largest banks in the world. I mean, they will shoot them to become the largest banks in terms of bank size, $175 billion market cap. And also in Abu Dhabi, they would be the biggest bank.
You know, there's also stories of IPIC being merged together with the Mubadala Group and whether or not that will have any impact on 1MDB. I think this is also the story of the UAE financial groups trying to consolidate their businesses there and whether or not they have an impact in Malaysia. But in this sense, NBAD trying to consolidate their businesses there. It just shows the level of maturity of the financial banking system that is, you know, it's burgeoning in Abu Dhabi, but right now they're maturing into something more like we see in the Asian tiger markets.
That's right. So going back to the size of the bank, they would be the fourth largest bank in the world by market value, the first being Goldman Sachs. And this would put the merger of MBAD and FGB above that of Deutsche Bank and Standard Chartered. They're pretty formidable.
But of course, with mergers of this size, we will expect, you know, job cuts, streamlining of roles. We saw that the CIMB, RHB, MBSB merger would have cost about 8,000 jobs there.
No mention of an Islamic mega bank as well from this merger.
Actually, you're right. And in fact, again, it's just the Malaysian effort of trying to promote Islamic finance in this part of town. But, you know, where it all counts, I suppose, in the Middle East, Islamic banking is not big there, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's all about the bottom line, and but what we see in the Middle East, of course, is the kind of financial heft that it has, right? We have that
Absolutely.
Sovereign news of that mega sovereign wealth fund coming out of Saudi Arabia, and now this
the listing of Saudi Aramco as well, which would probably possibly be the largest company in the world.
Okay, we're coming up to the news at 8 a.m., after which we'll have the Breakfast Grill. Julian, you're speaking to Mark Canning, Senior Advisor, Will Bell Pottinger, and speaking about the Brexit's impact on the region. More after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.